Well, good morning, everybody, and a very happy Easter. Thank you very, very much for joining us. Good morning. It is glorious outside, particularly if you're in Crouch End. I can't speak for everybody who's watching, but certainly beautiful sunshine as we celebrate that first Easter Sunday together on this Easter Sunday. A special welcome if you're perhaps joining us for the first time in this format, at least. Maybe you're someone who comes along to church around Christmas or at Easter. It is great to have you here with us as well. I'm sure it's very obvious this isn't a new snazzy way of doing church we've discovered. We are obviously in the lockdown, the building is closed, but the church is very much open. And so week by week, this is now our fourth Sunday, we are meeting here in this way together with a live stream. And if we've not met, I'm Adam. I'm the vicar here at Christ Church in Crouch End. And once again, thank you very, very much for joining us. The format of our time together is very, very simple. We keep it relatively short so that particularly those with younger children can be kept occupied, either by me or by something else for the time that we're together. And quite simply, we do what Christians have done for hundreds of years when they gather together. We meet and sit under God's word. That is what is certain in these very uncertain times. We pray together, albeit it's my voice leading us through, but we join in from our homes and in our hearts. And we would normally sing together, but of course we can't do that. And so you'll see on the website or under the description of the YouTube channel some recommended songs to listen to and sing along with if you'd like to from home. But once again, a very, very happy Easter. And as ever, as we start these videos, now's the time. If you haven't found your Bible, do grab your Bible. And this Easter morning, we're going to turn to John chapter 20. So it's the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John, one of Jesus' closest friends. And he wrote this account of the life and times of Jesus. The most distant after Jesus' death, he sort of had some time to absorb it all, to think about it, and gives us this tremendous account to explain all that Jesus' death and resurrection means as one of those closest to him, as one of his very best of friends. We're going to be reading, as I say, from John 20. We're going to start in verse 24. So in my Bible, it's really the last few verses as of the, well, in any Bible, the last few verses of the book. John chapter 20, verse 24. And I'm pleased to say, as a change of voice, my wife Kate is going to read for us. So if we're all ready, John 20, I'll hand the microphone and Kate will slip into view and then she'll go and sort the children out next door afterwards. So thanks, Kate.
John 20, 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Great. Thanks, Kate. Clip this back on. Super. Well, it's God's word, and I'm going to pray for God's help as we just think about some of those truths now this Easter day. Let's pray together. Loving Father, we thank you so much. You've not left us stranded or guessing as to what you're like, nor what we're really like. And so we thank you very much that as we hear your voice and have your word, we are taken back to that first Easter, and you reveal to us who Jesus really is and why that really matters. And so we pray now you would help us to see and to believe. And we pray in his name. Amen. Last week in one of the papers, I don't know which paper because I saw it online, but last week in one of the papers, one of the cartoonists captured the current pandemic we find ourselves in really, really nicely in a way that a cartoonist can, simply, but in a way that makes us giggle a bit. There was one of those single square cartoons, and there was what clearly is a godlike figure, sort of thick set man with a big beard and a long robe, sat there holding a globe, that the earth in his hand, and pulling a face of being really quite bewildered and perplexed, as if to think, what on earth's going on? What's gone wrong? And there's an angel, obviously winged, little cherub thing, sat at his side, and the caption simply said, "Have you tried turning it off and turning it on again?" Of course, we really would love to if we could, wouldn't we? If only we could turn it off and turn it on again. This wretched virus needs turning off. And not just the virus, all the misery that the virus is bringing. We are forced to cope by being in a lockdown, aren't we? And even then we can choose, how do we cope? Do we watch the news or do we switch it off? Do we engage with things or just batten down the hatches and try and hope when we pull the duvet back one day, it's all over? You see, try as we might, we can't turn off the situation we're in. And worse, of course, is that we can't turn off its ultimate consequence. Just logging online this morning, I see that well over 100,000 people have now died. That is just the recorded statistics. And of course, it is going to rise significantly further. And what is significant about that, of course, is that they're not numbers, are they? They're people. These are people who are dying. These are friends and family, colleagues and loved ones. And what seemed only a few weeks ago like a faraway tide on the horizon and a long way off, all of a sudden we've had to move our towels quickly up the beach. The water has come in. This tide of death is everywhere. People are dying. They're not numbers. And it is terrible because death is terrible. And of course, that is why Easter Sunday is such good news. Because that first Easter, there is a declaration of victory over death. If I can put it like this, it's been turned off and on again. And so John's gospel, in these few verses towards the end, he wants us clear as he wraps up his book that Jesus really rose and that his death offers life. The bit where Kate started reading, it picks things up in the narrative just about a week after Jesus' death and resurrection. And there we are in verse 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. See, Jesus has already visited his friends. And would you believe it? Thomas is out. I don't know. The lockdown hasn't applied there. Is he gone shopping? Who knows? Perhaps you've heard of Thomas, often called Doubting Thomas. Even Richard Dawkins affectionately refers to him as the saint of skeptics. But one thing Thomas would never be called, as far as he's concerned, is saint of the gullible. Look what he says, verse 25. "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." It's a bit grim and a bit gory, to say the least. But in short, it's no surprise Thomas is often called the Yorkshireman of the disciples, is he? He just wants plain facts. he's saying, if you've seen him, then I want to see him. And until then, sorry, guys, I'm not buying it. And then, as we heard, another week later, Jesus walks in the door, or it seems walks through the door, which was locked. I guess if you can walk through death, doors aren't a problem either. And verse 27, it's clear Jesus heard everything Thomas had said. Put your finger here, Thomas. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. It is quite the 180, isn't it? He has gone from saint of skeptics to the saint of certainty. And it's because there before his eyes, he is quite sure that Jesus really rose. And he responds as he only can, my Lord and my God. Now, maybe you're thinking this morning, well, bully for Thomas. And sure enough, if I'd been there, or if, you know, with the door locked, Jesus walked in and appeared here now, well, then we'd believe too. And that is presumably why Jesus continues in verse 29, knowing we would think just this. He says, Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You see, Jesus is quite certain that it is possible to believe without having seen. Because whilst we can't see the nail marks, we can't put our hands in his side, others have. And we can see, if you like, what they saw. They've written it down as eyewitnesses. But above all, Jesus is certain we can see and believe, because more important than seeing the marks is to see what they mean. Because, yes, Jesus really rose. But that means his death offers us life. It's right there in Jesus' four-word greeting as he appears before them. See in verse 26, peace be with you. I presume if you know you're going to walk through death, having said all along, the Son of Man must die and rise again, after 3 days, you've given some thought to what your first words are going to be. What could he have said? Ta-da! No, that wouldn't cut it. And nor has Jesus gone sort of all 60s flower power on us. You know, peace, guys, peace. No, in four very, very significant first words, he fulfills words spoken about 750 years before his birth. When a prophet Isaiah, speaking of that first Easter, said, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds, we're healed. You see, we know, don't we, that a vaccine for COVID-19 will heal from this one wretched virus. But it won't heal the one thing that Jesus is clear on is the cause of death. Sin. The thing that separates us from God, all of us. An invisible, unseen, viral enemy, if you like, that none of us can do anything about. And yet the death that virus brings was dealt with by Jesus. It's as if that first Easter, he turned it off and turned it on again. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds, we're healed. See, yes, Jesus really rose. People saw him. But we can see what that means because his death offers us life. I'm told the account of a Native American tribe that had the problem it was going through where someone was stealing from their livestock. And the chief of the tribe reminded everybody that they'd agreed as a tribe various sanctions and punishments to operate and function, and that theft from anybody in the tribe received a public lashing, 50 lashes. It was a deterrent. But someone was stealing from the livestock. And of course, in that sort of culture, that meant you'd go hungry. It was critical they kept the supply. One night, the thief was spotted through the light of the campfire. And he was chased and he was caught having run off with some of the animals. And when they took off his hood, it was clear to all that it was the chief's son. And so the tribe agreed that he must be pardoned and let go. It was the chief's son. But the chief said, if it had been anybody else, we would insist that justice was done. And so he insisted justice must be served. And the son was brought forward in the public gathering of the tribe. And just as he was to be whipped, the chief took off his own shirt, stepped into the middle of the gathering, stood with his back to the person with the whip, covered his son, and took all 50 blows himself. See, justice was served, the punishment was received, but the chief's love meant the son was safe. See, friends, the punishment that brought us peace was on him, Jesus. By his wounds, we are healed. And so, of course, if that is true, it changes everything. It's because it's true that Christians for 2,500 years have celebrated it. It is because it's true that John writes at all. Look how he finishes the bit that Kate read, verse 30. Listen to his confidence. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples. We saw them all, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. You see, John is certain, as was Jesus. It's totally reasonable to believe what he saw and believed, because he saw it and he's passed it on. And he wants us to see, not the marks, we can't, but their meaning. Because Jesus really died and rose. And that means we can have life too. And so as I close, on this very strange Easter Sunday, I wonder how you're coping with the regular reminders of death. Jesus changes everything. Of course, it doesn't deal directly with the coronavirus. Nobody's saying that. But thank God he deals with the far worst sin virus. And so that means when we, as Christchurch, when we reopen the doors to our building, when we long to gather and look forward to gathering together again, there will be people, not numbers, people missing. We already know of Ina. And we will miss them. But the truth of John 20 means they won't miss us. And that is why this morning we proclaim boldly, Happy Easter, he is risen. If you're still skeptical, perhaps you'd be willing to look at the meaning of those nail marks. Perhaps you admit that you've made quite a certain choice about who Jesus is or isn't, and never really looked to see. At a time of life where all of us, of course, are reassessing and weighing up our priorities and our life principles, as we see life in lockdown, some of the things we cherish and love and have placed all value and hope in are crumbling down. Well, will you take a look to see if Jesus' death really offers life? We're going to hopefully do that together online. If you'd like to engage in that way, have an online discussion, then you'll see the details or get in touch via the website. Or perhaps like me, you were once a skeptic and you're now certain. Or perhaps you've always known Jesus, this to be true of him. Well, then this Easter, let's praise God. Let's praise God for the life that he brings by believing in his name, because only the resurrection brings it. And have you ever known a time in living memory where it means so much? Where the truth that Jesus really rose and the death his life brings promises so much? Well, we're going to turn some of these things to our prayers. I'm going to lead us in various prayers in response to these truths, and then praying, of course, for our world around us and for our church family. And so let's pray together and bow our heads if you'd like to. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank and praise you for the truth of that first Easter, for Good Friday and why it is good, and for the certain joy of that first Easter Sunday. We thank you so much for Christ's empty tomb. We thank you so much for the meaning of those marks in Jesus' hands and side. We thank you so much that as we believe, we receive life. And so we pray that at this time you would strengthen our belief. You would make us more certain of the life that we have in Jesus' name. And we pray for others to heed what Jesus says, to stop doubting and believe. We pray for those who may be clinging to straw man arguments. Pray that they would stop doubting and believe. Father, we thank you so much for our NHS. So often we talk of taking it for granted. Now we thank and praise you, of course, for it and each and every one of the workers. We continue to pray for all those on the front line. We thank you for opportunities to express our appreciation week by week on Thursday evenings. We pray for all the medical staff. Particularly this morning, Lord, we pray for those who are grieving, who have lost loved ones, doctors, medics and nurses, who have succumbed and died to the virus. We thank you for their willingness not to retreat, but to step forward and to serve the nation in this way. We thank you and pray especially for the medics and our church family. And we pray, of course, particularly for James in hospital, facing so many on a corona ward. And pray for him and his family and their safety and well-being. Father, we pray too for those grieving today. We pray for Harriet and John. We pray for Cecil. We pray they would cling to the joy of the Easter truth. We pray for Doug as he anticipates that call from Dad's care home. We thank you for the promise of the gospel. We thank you that you assure us, risen and ascended, that you will never leave nor forsake us. Father, we pray too for those unwell and self-isolating because of this virus especially. We pray for Reen and his family and others. We pray they would heal quickly and fully and know the comfort of that first Easter Sunday. We pray for those who perhaps not struggling with this illness, but exacerbated mental illness, isolation, fear and anxiety. Pray that they too would know the risen and ascended Lord Jesus, who never leaves and never forsakes. And whilst we might feel alone, to know him is to never be lonely. Pray too for families with children on school holidays. It all feels rather familiar, like a Groundhog Day. Pray you'd help parents to make a priority of celebrating Easter, of trying to have some fun, of juggling all the commitments well, of showing the children positive and formative ways of looking back on this time when the lockdown's lifted. Please be with them, as life can be put under quite considerable strain. Would they know your peace and your comfort and your joy as they get through this period? Lord, we of course pray also for our Prime Minister. We pray for his continued health and healing, for his government, as it seems he's now recuperating, and as they lead on his behalf. We pray you give them all wisdom that they'll need to make very difficult decisions about where to direct care and supplies, and of course all the other day-to-day running of the government, the nation, and international dealings. Lord, please be with each and every one of them. Finally, Father, we pray Psalm 46, verse 10. We pray that verse, "Be still and know that I am Lord," and ask that our world in a lockdown, forced to be still, would look and see that you are the Lord and come to saving knowledge of who you are. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name and all for his glory alone. Amen. Well, we've heard God's word, we've thought about it, we've prayed, and as I say, it's great to sing together, and I'm sure many of us are really missing the great privilege that is to gather our voices in one. We can't do that, but you'll see I've suggested one or two songs, some particularly for families, others for everybody else, so perhaps you want to enjoy those, singing along at home. If, like me, your voice isn't the best, you can raise the roof and nobody minds, and we can all join in together. Others of us who are regular at Christchurch, after that, we sort of have been enjoying a Zoom online virtual coffee. And afterwards, we're going to follow that link and catch up with one another. But once again, thank you very much for joining us, and a very, very happy Easter to you all. Lord willing, see you same time next Sunday. Bye bye.